Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Saying it out loud.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Dollar plunging, oil rising, you just can't deny it anymore. The Wall Street Journal says so too. We're in a real live recession. At least the gaggle of economists the journal surveys for its forecasts are saying that. The sluggish retail sales figures out Thursday apparently cinched it. Later this morning, we'll get more numbers with the release of the Consumer Price Index, a gauge of inflation. Marketplace's Elisa Roth says, like anything else, the CPI has its critics.
Every month, government economists add up the cost of all the things they think we need to live. Food, housing, clothes, transportation. That number, crunched a few times, is the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. By comparing it to last month's or last year's number, they can measure inflation. Some, like the Federal Reserve, think it's more accurate to use the core CPI. That's the CPI minus things like energy and food, which the Fed takes out because it thinks they're too volatile. John Williams is an economist who runs a website called Shadow Stats. He thinks that's absurd.
I challenge you to find anyone who does not consume food or energy. It's not reflective of anyone's cost of living or anyone's inflation.
The regular CPI gets criticized, too. Some economists say housing costs aren't accurately represented, especially in this market. But most say, flaws and all, the CPI is about as good an inflation indicator as you can get. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed up 35 to 12,145. The NASDAQ closed up 19 to 2263. And the S&P closed up 6 to 1315. $4 a gallon gas has become a reality. At least it has in Hawaii. Garrett Nishida is the front desk manager of the Sheraton in Maui. We got him on the phone before he went home for the night to get a report from the ground.
Right now in Lahaina, it's 391.
Where is that? That's not far from you?
Yeah, that's on the west side of Maui.
Mm-hmm.
But where I live, in the central part of Maui, it's 395 for regular.
What else could you do with $4? Do you think that as you pump gas in your car?
Yeah. In my mind, I just think that it is cheaper to pay for gas than buying a 12-ounce beer at the bar. Here we pay about $3.50 during happy hour maybe for domestic beer.
Now that sounds like a bargain. Garrett Nishida of Maui says high prices are just part of living in paradise.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working to help reduce greenhouse gases with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. And by Medtronic, recruiting runners who benefit from medical technology to run in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. More at medtronic.com/globalheroes. Middle East Reporting is supported by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org.
The courtship continues. Word is that bigwigs from Microsoft and Yahoo had a face-to-face meeting on Monday. It's said to be the first meeting since Bill Gates and friends made an unsolicited bid for Yahoo, worth nearly $42 billion. Apparently, the get-together wasn't a negotiation. Microsoft presented its vision of a combined company, and sources told the Wall Street Journal that the Yahoo guys mostly listened. Someday soon, if your kid has to go to the hospital in Columbus, Ohio, you could feel like you're stepping into a commercial. The insurance company Nationwide is getting its name on the marquee of the hospital for a $50 million donation. Abercrombie and Fitch doled out $10 million and gets the emergency room named for it. And the Limited 2 will see its name on the lobby after making a $5 million donation. Now, usually this kind of sponsorship is something you see in sports. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad says it's causing some issues there, too.
The Cubs fans are, you know, they're proud. They haven't won the World Series in 94 years, so they've got to hang on to something. And they just don't want the name of Wrigley Field changed. And, you know, evidently a recent survey said that 72% of the season ticket holders, 72% said, we will just leave those seats empty this year. We won't go to one game if they change that Wrigley Field name. So they're up in arms about it and protesting.
I don't necessarily believe that people are just not going to show up at the games, but obviously there's precedent for it in the Chicago area.
Great Comiskey Park, and they sold out, and they're now U.S. Cellular Field. So you would think, you know, how can you get more corporate sounding than that? And the White Sox fans, they did, you know, they weren't happy in the beginning either, but they're showing up, they're going to the field. So I think you're right, the Cubs fans will go. But, you know, what's so ironic about it is that you look back, and really, the first corporate name ever put on a stadium was Wrigley Field. It was Wrigley Chewing Gum Company. But these fans today don't think of it that way. It's just their beloved Wrigley Field.
Well, the reality is, as we're talking about, you need the money, the corporate backing to get these projects built. But there's still some places that are so sacred. Like Yankee Stadium?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, they call that the cathedral of baseball. And when the baseball players start wearing, you know, Budweiser across, you know, their hats and on their sleeves, the Yankees, no doubt, will remain corporate-free. Although within Yankee Stadium, you know, they're selling rights to several different areas within Yankee Stadium. I mean, Fenway in Boston is the best example of that. And now Yankee Stadium is taking that up. Fenway remains just called the park that we always know. But inside, they have 10 different corporate areas, and the newest one is called Coca-Cola Corner. So there are 410 new seats with picnic tables, $75 a piece, which is about twice what the going rate of a ticket is. So there are section cordoned off areas within Fenway Park to the tune of about $20 million a year.
So back to Sam Zell. Is he saying that he's got to do this? He's got
Sam
no choice.
Zell of the Cubs is just right in the face of his fans. He says, look, you know, it's my money, and if I've got to raise $200 million, you know how I'm going to do it? We're not going to be called Wrigley Field anymore. We're going to be called whatever.
Whatever. whatever pays the highest bid. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
That's Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.